We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the life of David, David in the wilderness. And the words are taken from 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 14. In Psalm 34, verse 19, the Holy Spirit tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And this is really a summary of David's life and yours and mine. This should not surprise us. It's been that way from the very beginning. Abel was hated by his brother Cain and killed. And the blood of righteous Abel crieth unto God from the ground. The afflictions come upon God's people in many places and many ways. And many different kinds of people, sometimes even from friends, many times from enemies, but all controlled by God and working together for our own good. And whatever comes our way, it's what we need. We need these things. So we're walking as strangers and pilgrims through this great and terrible wilderness, but our eyes are always on Jesus Christ and his kingdom of glory. This becomes especially clear when we ponder the life of David, who is a type of Christ and also a type of every one of God's elect. We pointed this out many times. This is your story and mine. The Bible's a living book, not a dead one. And David is called a man after God's own heart. And in all his many trials, David was richly blessed. So are we all. The Psalms which David wrote have been a rich blessing from God to us. And he had to pass through, David had to pass through many trials and tribulations in order to write these things. And we've been richly blessed by all these Psalms that he wrote. A key one, of course, would be Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And these words have been on the lips of God's children in the deathbed for years and years and years. So here in 1 Samuel 23, we see David fleeing for safety out in the wilderness. Then David said, David and his men, which were about 600, notice it's 600 now, used to be 400, but some more have followed him. So now David and his men, which were about 600, rose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, so he forbear to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. Every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. So a few thoughts here. David is now followed by 600 men. And these guys, as we learn later on in Scripture, were mighty warriors. Every single one of them. And the thought hits us, you know, David could easily have killed Saul. It wouldn't have even been any contest. He and his 6,000 men could have laid an ambush for Saul, sucked him out into the wilderness where they were, and killed him. He could have done that, but he didn't. And this is a key thing in the life of David and in your life and mine. Be patient and wait for God to do things. We don't take things into our own hand. We wait God's time. He has a set time for everything, and it's always exactly right. So David honored God and obeyed him. He believed that Saul as king was put there by God, which is true. And David obeyed God and waited for God to make the move. And we're going to see that over and over and over again. He paid a price for it. But God preserved David and walked through. So there were 600 men there. I think I misspoke on that. But still, they were good. 600 mighty, mighty warriors. We think of Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. When Christ said, the meek shall inherit the earth, this is what he was talking about. And so often, we look like we're losers. We're afraid. So often it looks that way. But it isn't. And the end will bear it out. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says this. And you know, like David, Paul suffered greatly for following Christ. And Paul said this, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't fight your own battles. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written," now remember this one, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So you don't have to defend yourself. The mighty God is going to do it. He'll do it for you, and he will do it in a lot better way than you or I possibly could. We have to remember that. Son of God, in 1 Peter 2:23, this is Peter saying, who talking about Jesus, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And this whole thing is going to be completely turned around at the final judgment day, which must be very, very close right now. So, okay. David was in the wilderness of Ziph. Ziph means refining place, and David was being refined here. The hard knocks that a child of God goes through are blessings. We have to remember that. They're blessings, and we need them. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. He doesn't give us things that are not good for us. He doesn't give us things that we don't need. Everything he brings in your life and mine is something that we need. You have to remember that. Sometimes you wonder why, but God knows better than we do. It gets back to that. So now here, you know, David could hide in the wilderness because for years and years and years he was a shepherd. And he followed the sheep. And he knew every nook and cranny of the whole land around Bethlehem and Jerusalem. That's why Saul couldn't find him. David knew where these hiding places were. They were familiar ground to him from his days as a shepherd. And Saul couldn't care less what happened to the people right now. Even though he's king, he has only one thing in mind, and that is kill David. And he spent every day doing it. Every day. That's the king that the people wanted, not God. So here we have the final meeting on this earth between David and Jonathan. And it's a touching scene. We're in 1 Samuel 23 yet, starting with 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, this is Jonathan talking to David, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So this is the final meeting on this earth between David and Jonathan. It's a touching scene, and it gives rise to a few questions, really, that cannot be answered. But they can be asked. Question number one, how did Jonathan know where David was hiding out? His father didn't know. But Jonathan knew. Must have been directly from God. And another thing, why didn't Jonathan leave his father and join up with David? I've wondered that, and I really don't know the answer to it. But as you know, Jonathan ended up being killed in battle next to his father. But his heart was with David. The truth of the matter is, we learn this here, we didn't know before, that Jonathan felt that he would be second in command under David when David finally took the throne as king of Israel. What a powerful leadership that would have been. David and Jonathan guiding the people together. But it didn't happen that way. But what a godly example Jonathan is to God's people. So the chapter continues. David is betrayed in the wilderness of Ziph by the very people that he got done saving from the Philistines. He saved them. Now they're out to capture him. They're puppets of King Saul. So then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Helkiah," or whatever, "which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down. You want to kill David? We'll help you do it." and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. What an example to us not to put our trust in human beings, because they don't a lot of times come through. David is here betrayed by the people of his own tribe. He's in the tribe of Judah, his own people. And he's here is a type. Jesus is the anti-type. Same thing happened to him. Questioned by Pilate, "Shall I crucify your son, or your king, rather?" Answer, "We have no king but Caesar." Betrayed by his own people. And in some ways, this is the example for every single child of God. In one way or another, this happens to us. Saul said, oh, listen to Saul, "Blessed be ye of the Lord." Oh, here's this heathen king that hates God and hates the Son of God and hates David, and he's giving God's blessings to the Ziphites, as if he could do that. "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me." Oh, this poor king, he needs some help, and they give it to him. Note how thankful God, Saul, was to give blessings to these Ziphites. They were accepted by the king with open arms. Same thing happened for Judas Iscariot. He was accepted with open arms, and he was even paid to do it. 30 pieces of silver, I'll betray Jesus into your hand. And they welcomed him. It didn't last. When Judas realized what he had done, he threw the money on the floor. He came in and he said to these people, his friends, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And what did they say to him? What is that to us? That's your problem. You deal with it. They turned on him. So, okay. "Go, I pray thee." This is Saul now talking to the Ziphites. "Go, I pray you, prepare ye yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly." Here's Saul saying David deals subtly. "See therefore, and take knowledge of the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come ye again with me with the certainty." Now I want to know exactly where he is. Not he's hiding out in the woods somewhere. I want to know where he's staying. Where he's sleeping at night. "And I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain of the south of Jeshimon. So Saul's going to the wrong place because he's being led to the wrong place, and he's not there. So then comes one of the oddest scenes in Scripture, and it's not easily understood until you look at it pretty closely. And it's in verses 25 through 29. David is saved with a tremendous miracle in the mountain of Moan, M-O-A-N. So Saul also and his men went to seek him, the him is David, and they told, and they, the Ziphites, told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. Who they were, actually, we're not sure, but somebody gave David some help. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Okay, we're reading directly now. Here's what happened. Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. Oh, what does that mean? And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. Saul had his whole army. You have to wonder, were David's brothers members of Saul's army? For sure the older three were when David killed Goliath. And I wonder if the rest of them followed suit. And if that's true, then here you had David's own brothers in the army of Saul seeking his life. So anyway, there came a messenger. Okay, David was on one side and Saul was on the other side. And for fear of Saul, and Saul and his men compass David, surround him, and his men round about to take them. So this doesn't seem very clear as to what's happening. But this is what's happening. The mountain was kind of a bare mountain, at least at the top of it. We have goat prairies and some of the bluffs around here. A goat prairie is a place where the goats used to eat grass or whatever. You can have trees along the whole mountain, but on the goat mountain, on the goat prairie, it's level. And it's going up yet, but there's no trees going around it. It's plain. And that's what the whole mountain here was. It was a mountain that had a road at the bottom starting toward the top, but it didn't go straight up. You couldn't do that. It went around in circles. So you went around a little higher, 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 until you get to the top. So David was on the hill, but Saul was also on the hill with his whole army. And David was going around, and Saul was following halfway around. So they were going around in the same direction, and they're getting closer and closer and closer to the top. And once you get to the top, there's nowhere else to go. And that's what happened. They were going around. David was getting higher and higher toward the closer and closer to the top. Saul was following. And now it's time for Saul to close in for the kill. David doesn't have a chance. He's greatly, even with the 600 men, greatly outnumbered. Greatly outnumbered. They don't have a chance. And then what happened? This is what happened. But there came a messenger unto Saul. Some guy came running up to Saul right when Saul is ready to close in for the kill. And a messenger came up to Saul saying, "Haste, come on, you got to get down." Why? "Come down, for the Philistines have invaded the land." So Saul turned around instead of going in to kill David. Now he turned around from pursuing after David, and he went down the hill as fast as he could go against the Philistines. This is precious. Therefore, they called the name of that place. I'm not even going to try this. It looks like there's about 75 letters in this. But you can look it up and read it, what the name of that place is, and in verse 28. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Okay, so right when Saul's ready for the kill, God sends a messenger up him. The Philistines are attacking. So here you have Saul hates David. The Philistines hate David. And Saul's ready to kill David. And the Philistines attack Israel. And Israel hates David. Saul hates David. But they go down together with fight with each other. You've got the enemies fighting with each other, and David gets away from it. When you realize what's happening here, this is absolutely amazing. And you know, you and I, if you've been older now, those of us that are older have had things happen like this, that we're in a position where there's no way out. And right at the last second, God provides a way out. God, a lot of times, waits until the situation is absolutely hopeless from the human side of things. And then he saves. If you know that, that's going to take away a lot of your fear. Remember, God's controlling everything that happens. He's even controlling the actions of the enemy. We're not living in a free-for-all. And what they do in their anger and hatred toward the Son of God and his bride, the Heavenly Father's controlling all that. Everything. You don't have to be afraid. And a lot of times the answer is going to come at a place where you would never have dreamed it. But God has a lot of arrows in his quiver. I'm going to end the sermon with the words of the Holy Spirit that he wrote through David. And this is a psalm that David wrote talking about the very situation that we're looking at when he was on the mount and being pursued by Saul. It's Psalm 59. And we'll end the sermon by reading these blessed words. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor my sin, O Lord. I didn't do anything against them, but they're after me. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. That's David's prayer given to him by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. Got to remember that. High priestly prayer of Jesus concerning the heathen. I pray not for them. I pray for those whom thou hast given me. He didn't pray for the heathen people. He prayed for his bride. Remember that. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, they say, doth hear? We can say anything we want. Nobody else hears it. God doesn't hear it. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Well, what about that sword of Goliath that he took? Oh, he didn't mention that anymore. I don't even know if he still has it. His trust is in God now, not a sword, even a Goliath sword. Okay, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me, he'll surround me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. God is going to destroy the enemies, and he's going to allow me to watch him do it. And that's a blessing. That is a blessing. This is your story and mine. At the final day, when the wicked ones and the ones that have persecuted us one way or the other, it's all going to come out, and we're going to see the judgment of Almighty God against those who persecuted us. And we'll see it. And we'll be thankful for it. We'll praise God for it. Because remember, God is a God of love. But the Father loves the Son. And if somebody hates the Son, God is going to hate them because the Father loves the Son. Remember that. And what happens to the enemies of Jesus Christ happening to your enemies and mine also. And we'll see it. You won't have to read about it. We'll see it. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. So don't do it right now. That's the way I'm looking at this. There's still some things that the heathen people do to help us, even though they don't know it. If everything is going too good, it's easy to forget about God. That's why there's still some enemies here. Slay them not, lest the people forget. Scatter them by thy power. We can do that. And bring them down, O Lord, our shield. It's a matter of timing. They're going to be wiped out, but it's a matter of timing. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. So God is listening to everything that the wicked ones say, and they're going to pay a price for it. He's a righteous judge, and it's all going to come out at the last day. Psalm is just about over. Consume them in wrath. That doesn't mean annihilate them. That would be too good of a blessing for them. They're not going to be annihilated. They're going to live forever. Or perhaps we better say they're going to lie. They're going to die forever down in hell. They'll wish they could be annihilated, but it's not going to happen. They're eternal beings. And consume them in wrath. Consume them. Double shot here, that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. Couple more verses to the end of the psalm. And at evening, let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. Don't give them anything to eat. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my delight and the God of my mercy. A psalm that David wrote after he was being pursued on the mountain.